And verse 10 is where I want to just spend a few moments on. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This verse has been in my mind for a number of weeks. There was a group of us men praying in our church, one of these late night prayer meetings, and this verse was brought up. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Job was in captivity. He was under a situation where he was not experiencing the blessing of God. Let's just put it that way. And the Lord turned that captivity, and we often pray that the Lord would turn our captivity as the streams in the south. But the Lord turned the captivity of Job when there's a very strong connection here. When he prayed for his friends, there is a, if I can put it this way, there is a horizontal element and a vertical element. The horizontal element of, I'll just go ahead and apply it this way, of unity amongst God's people. And that directly affects the blessing of God. And now I'll turn ourselves to Psalm 133. And we all know this passage very well as well. But there is a connection here. I believe this. And the more I read about, well, the New York one comes to mind just because we have very, very voluminous records of it. When you read about things like the New York Revival, the outstanding feature is that of unity. Now, it doesn't mean that we just abandon our convictions or our distinctives and Baptists all of a sudden become, you know, Presbyterians and vice versa. We still have our convictions about a variety of things, and that's just the way the Lord made us this side of heaven. But there is also a very strong unity that can exist even amongst these differing convictions that we might have. And Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there," so where? "Where brethren dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Again, I want to stress that this does not mean that we are uniform, where we all believe exactly the same way and we have all of our interpretations exactly the same way. I don't believe this side of heaven you're going to have that. You have a godly man like Whitfield and godly individual like Wesley. They were on opposite sides when it came to the sovereignty of God, for example, or other things. And yet they had respect for one another. I believe it was more on the side of Whitfield towards Wesley, if I'm understanding my history correctly. But there was respect one for another. And they were both believers. They both knew the Lord. And so part of what we're trying to do with this conference, as I'm sure it's obvious to some of you, is that we're bringing together men that normally don't preach together for one reason or another. And these are all men that I have personally enjoyed tremendously in my life and benefited from in my own life. And they come from different circles, or they're good men. And part of what I hope to see happen with God's help and blessing is that there will be respect given for one another as we listen to the word brought by these men and listen to their heart behind the word. I pray that the Lord will command the blessing, that there will be a true blessing that flows from brethren that that are able to dwell together in unity. And I refer you back to Job. We are in a period of captivity. Okay? There's no arguing around that. The church feels very weak and bound and unable to exercise its authority, that it's God-given authority, and there's no respect given to the man who brings the word. The church is despised. There is a real sense of captivity that we're experiencing. And I would like to submit that this passage here in Job ought to be somewhat instructive to us, that the way that we react and the way that we view one another in the Lord, if there's any division or there's any harboring or bitterness or of a self-righteousness or pharisaical, divisive spirit inside of us, one that is sectarian, the Lord, can I say it this way, cannot bless that. It's almost as if he would be endorsing that kind of a spirit. And yet, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And I'll just keep stressing over and over again. It simply means that we have the right spirit towards one another. That our spirit towards one another is not one of a Pharisee or one of self-righteousness. And so we have to be very careful about that. We're praying for a revival. We're praying for a turning of captivity. We're praying for the blessing of God to be commanded upon us, as Psalm 133 states. And there is a horizontal aspect to this. And sometimes it's not easy for us to hear that. A forgiveness that we have for our brethren. A suffering long patience with our brethren or those in our own family. There is a horizontal aspect and there's a vertical aspect. And just says here in black and white, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. I just wonder if he did not pray for his friends, if he harbored bitterness against them or a self-righteous attitude, I just wonder, would the Lord have still turned his captivity? Something to think about. But let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Unity, not uniformity, but unity, Christian love, is something that I would like to ask the Lord for today. In our churches, you know, even the best of churches could improve in this, where there's genuine love for the brethren, where we would give the shirt off our back for one another, genuine love and concern and care for one another. We saw a little taste of it, I think, some of you all, on Saturday, but we need to see it oh so much more. Oh so much more.